chapter 15. There's been in my heart a knowing. Jesus whispers sweet and low, "Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still." Amen. Be peace be saying.
Placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of just why he came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. Sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Before we left and went out to Chicago, I told you I was going to be preaching a message out there about having to do with healing and sicknesses and so forth, and I did on Sunday night. What did I preach on Sunday morning?
When you had everybody read Jeremiah for Sunday night.
Oh, that's right. That's why I wasn't sure. Yep. Okay. So we did this Sunday morning. Why do we get sick and die? Why do we get sick and die? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And having read this this morning, I do want to back up a little bit to verse 10. Paul is talking about, he's in a context of talking about all his sufferings for the cause of Christ. And those sufferings very much are in the body, in his physical body, for the spiritual things that he was preaching about in Christ. And in this passage, I see some things here that are going to help us understand why do we get sick and die. Starting at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, always bearing about in the body, see, in the body, that's your physical, Paul's physical body and yours as well, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know, really, that's all I have to go on is my body, as far as you're concerned. Yeah, I have an inner man and so forth and the spiritual part of me, but you really, all you see is my body, and I need to be manifesting Christ in my body. Verse 10, or 12, so then, verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. Even if I should have to die for Christ, I want you to see Christ through me. Verse 12, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. He pulls a passage out of the book of Psalm 116 there. I believed and therefore have I spoken. And then he says, we also believe and therefore speak. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Talking about resurrection. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but, and I want you to hear these words, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. You know, you see my body, but you can't see my soul and spirit. But we're supposed to look at those things, not so much the body. For the things, verse 18 ends, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal, meaning based upon time, and they're not going to be around forever like this. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. By way of introduction, why am I preaching on this? Why do we get sick and die? Well, I'm going to answer the reason right away as to why we get sick and die, and then I want to give you another reason why I'm talking about this. Number one, because of what took place in the Garden of Eden. That's why. All right? Why do we get sick and die? Because of what took place in the Garden of Eden. Remember when God told Adam that he could eat of all the things of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof. The day thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely what?
Die.
That's where it began right there. And of course you know that Eve was tempted by the serpent, which was indwelt by the devil at that time. Listen to his words. She ate, gave to Adam, he ate also. And that day they died. They died. Death began right there. And it's not going to change. I think I outdid her there on that, didn't I? That's good. I'm glad she's here. And amen. All right. We have a good time here at church. That's good. All right. Now, that's where death and dying and sickness all began, right there. And that's the reason why. Well then, Pastor, why are you preaching on this today? Well, reason for looking at this subject is me, all right? And you. You're all concerned about my condition. Now, when I was out there at the other church, I said, because of their pastor, who also has a lot of afflictions in the flesh, can barely get up the steps to get behind the pulpit and preach, but he does. He keeps on doing it, and whatever it takes to do it, he gets his body up there and does it. And because of myself, and they're all praying for me out there, and I know you all do too, pray for me. Not only just for me and that pastor, but for all of you who sit here today and are sick. And I know we've got a lot of sickness here in all of your bodies. Some of you might look better than others, but I'm going to say you all have some problems in the flesh. If we could have everyone report, I'm sure we would hear there's trouble in all of your bodies. And then why do I preach on this? For you who may question God's love due to illness and sickness. How can a loving God allow me to go through this sickness and this illness? And then also for you who may be intimidated by the modern day, quote, faith, unquote, healers. Faith healers. Who are out there promising people that they can claim the healing and that God has provided for it and you ought to be well. You can get intimidated by that and think that, well, are they right or are they wrong? I'm going to show you they're wrong, okay? They're wrong. And I believe badly wrong to the detriment of the spiritual well-being of Christians. As a result of it. I would also like to say too. You all have access to our monthly prayer bulletin. And if you don't have one. There's some back there. There's probably some back there yet from this month. But I would venture to say. That if you glance through our prayer bulletin. And I just did glance through it, and I changed my percentage from last week's message. I think I said 85%. I would say probably 95% of the prayer requests in our bulletin have to do with our physical bodies, or the physical bodies of our friends and people and other people that we know. Whereas we are most of the time making prayer requests about our outward bodies. I am in no way saying that that's bad that you do that, or that we've done that in any way at all. We need to do that. And we have biblical basis for praying for each other's well-being and getting over sicknesses and asking God to be gracious and merciful to us in those regards. But I want you to know something. You know what is more important than our temporal body? The inward man. The inward man. And really, and again, this is not a cut on us for how often we make requests for physical. We really should be praying more for the inward part of our beings, that we would be stronger in the Lord, more thankful for all that Christ has done for us, asking for help to be a better Christian, a better example. Even if I have to do that in a body that's racked with pain, sickness, and all kinds of terrible problems, Lord, use me. No matter what my body condition is in. And don't you like the way it says it? Look there at verse 16. But though our outward man perish. That's the truth, isn't it? The outward man perish. And I'm going to tell you what, folks. The longer you live on this earth as a Christian, the more true that's going to happen. And it will happen. The general experience, and I'm just being facetious there, because the complete experience is our outward body is going to eventually perish. A lot of times it begins to do that before it takes its last breath, okay? It begins to perish and deteriorate and fall apart. And I was using the word, it doesn't seem to want to cooperate with my inward man. All right? My inward man wants to do a lot of things, and my body just will not allow me to do it. And that's why we go to prayer. Lord, help me in the midst of this, whatever the problem is that you may have, to be able to perform for your honor and glory. As Paul says, even if I have to die for the cause of Christ, may Christ be seen in this mortal body. And if I do die, that's life for you. And it will bring thanksgiving and honor. That's what the one verse says, unto God. So we want to use our bodies, as debilitating as they may get at times, for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means in any way, even mental sicknesses, physical sickness. This is all part of your body. And a lot of times, physical sickness can cause your mind to be messed up too. It can. It does. It may do it to you between now and your death or the rapture. We always kind of hope for that, don't we? Most prayer requests are regarding physical healing, but they should be toward the inward man being victorious. And I would just, if I can do anything to the challenge of what we have here is, and I know that it's a little more difficult to put on here. I did not find anybody say that, Ralph, would you put on this prayer request I want to pray. I want a prayer request that Pastor Freeman get more spiritual. It's hard to write that out on a prayer request bulletin, all right? And I'm not going to, in return, say, yeah, well, there's someone out there I think really needs to get, you know, stronger in the Lord. It's not something that we talk about openly like this, but you know what I'm going to say? It is more important than any of our prayer requests for our physical needs would be the needs we have for the inner man. And again, verse 16, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How about that? Well, I wish it would turn around a little bit sometimes, you know. Lord, how about renew this body day by day? He says, no. The day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And it's very interesting, the next few chapters, especially when it gets into the genealogies of the men and men who were born to Adam and Eve. And it says he so-and-so had so many daughters and lived, and he died. Then the next guy comes up, you know, 800, 700 years, and he died. And it just keeps on. It's like a funeral procession. One right after another. And he died. And he died. And he died. Some people don't like repetition in the Bible, but God puts it there for a reason. And I believe the reason is that we will all know by the time we get to chapter 4 or 5 of Genesis, death has entered into our way of living. Does that sound contradictory? Death has entered into our manner of life. And that's just the way it is. There is a Bible answer to the question, why do we get sick and die? And there is good doctrinal reason as to why it happens. First of all, though, I want to give you the false teaching that is out there. The false doctrine that's out there. Number one, some say this, all sickness is of the devil. All sickness is of the devil. And therefore, Christians who are no longer under the devil's kingdom should not allow the devil to make them sick anymore. And you just need to tell the devil, devil, get out of here, and I'm not going to be sick anymore. Their messages go on and on with stupidity in them. All sickness is not of the devil. For instance, the blind man whom Jesus met. Remember the disciples said, who did sin? This man or his father or his mother? The Lord said, neither. This sickness has come for the honor and glory of the Lord. So much for all sicknesses of the devil. And of course, you know how Jesus made the blind man to see. And how he then went back to the temple. And the religious leaders would cast him out. And he would say, I don't know about you guys, but once I was blind, but now I see. And the reason he was blind was so that Jesus could come along someday and make him whole and send a message to those spiritually, see, inwardly blind people. So this man was blind in his body outwardly, in order that God might touch the inside parts of men someday through his sickness. And that maybe that's the reason why you're sick too. Could be one of the reasons why. Here's another one that all sicknesses of the devil does not apply. The friend of Jesus named Lazarus. Remember? Lazarus was dead 4 days. The message came to Jesus, hey, your friend Lazarus is sick. Could you come and see him? Of course, with hopes that Jesus would heal him. Jesus delayed purposely. Purposely delayed. So that when he got there, Lazarus would be dead in the body. He got there and they were kind of upset. How come you didn't come when we asked you to? And the great passage about I am the resurrection and the life, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then, of course, they went along with it. Yeah, we know that in the end, well, there'll be a great resurrection. He said, let's go out to the cemetery. Out to the cemetery, take the stone away. But Lord, he's dead 4 days. By now he stinketh. See, this illness was not of the devil. This was of God. That God might get the glory. And that day Jesus did something that caused all those people to realize, here's someone who has life within him, the ability to give life. And he called forth Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. And you've heard me say this over and over again, and I just think it's, I don't know how true it is, but I think it's good he just called Lazarus, or the whole cemetery would have raised up from the dead. Okay? Just Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Wow. And you know what happened. And you know how many souls have been won to Christ through the preaching of that whole story. I'm going to tell you, all sickness is not of the devil. That's false teaching. Now, not that the devil can't. If allowed by God and permitted by God, he can. The story of Job comes into my mind. And how often demonic activity caused people to be sick and so forth in the New Testament. So I'm not saying never, but all is not the word. All sickness is not of the devil. Another false teaching. If you have faith, you can be healed. And they'll use Matthew chapter 9, verse 28, where it talks about people coming and the Lord encouraging them to believe. And when they do, they were made whole. And he would say, because of your faith, because you believe, they were made whole. But in that same chapter later on, it says he healed multitudes and not a word about any of them exercising faith in order to be saved. And there are other places in the New Testament as well where Jesus healed and where even the disciples were allowed to heal in Jesus' name. And faith was not a part of that at all. Rather, go to Matthew chapter 17 and notice this. That God actually accuses the healers of not having enough faith to make them whole, to make people coming unto them whole. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Well, I'd like to see some of them own up to that today. Who do I mean? You know, some of these faith healers out there. When it doesn't work, they always blame the victim rather than themselves. When in actuality, it could be themselves as the reason why the person isn't getting healed. This is the healer's way out when they fail. They blame it on the sick one. What a wicked thing to do. I think that's wicked to do that. I mean, if you're up there and you're telling everybody that you, by the laying on of your hands and so forth, can make them whole, come to our meetings, and of course, send in your seed faith money. You know, put some money in the envelope and we'll promise a healing. To then say, well, the reason why you're still sick is because you're not exercising enough faith. That's the way out that they have of not being able to do what they say they can do. And that puts the blame on the sick person. So the sick person says, I'll never be able to get better because I just don't have enough faith. I don't believe enough. And on they go into a mental disruption of their whole life because they can't exercise what that faith healer says is enough faith to get made whole in their body. It's wicked to deal with people's minds and souls like that. And especially, and I'm just going to say it because I believe this is the basis of the whole thing, for money. For money. It comes down to the money. we want you to send your money into this ministry here so that I can have a nice suit on. How do you like my suit today? Pretty nice, huh? And a nice big knobby diamond ring. And a wife with a hairdo. You know, the whole thing turns around. This is sickness. No pun intended. Spiritual sickness. I don't have any time for it. I waste no words on it. They are a bunch of lying, cheating, stealing ministers. It's a sad thing when you have to blame the sick person who's already got problems. You don't have enough faith in order to be made whole. Another false teaching. Physical healing is guaranteed in the atonement. This is a big one. This is a biggie. Okay. They'll go to, go with me, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. Misinterpretation of scriptures. Misapplication of scriptures. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16 and 17. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And of course, what they do with that is they bring that over to everybody who is sick. And of course, it's only for Christians, people who have believed in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that what Jesus did on the cross is able to keep you well the rest of your Christian life. From the time you get saved to the time of the rapture or the time of your death, you should really experience no sickness, trouble, or problem. You know what the problem with that is? You'd end up living forever. If you don't get sick, how are you going to die? Well, maybe you just kind of run out of gas. Well, that's a sickness, running out of gas. Running out of the ability to have strength. And then they go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. There it is again. It's brought in into this passage here. I believe what it has reference to is that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, paid for all of our sins. And I believe also in that death, he provides for the ultimate redemption of your body and my body that's racked by sickness and disease someday up in glory. While he was here, he did it while he was here presently. But that is not a guarantee that everybody who gets saved is automatically free from sickness. And all you have to do is claim the work of Christ on the cross against all of your sicknesses. And they'll use this word. You just need to claim this. Claim the healing. It's yours, provided by Christ on the cross. It's yours. You should never be sick. You should not take. In fact, they'll say it's sin for you to accept the sickness in your body. I mean, they get wild with this. You know what is? You know what's interesting? All these faith healers. You know what's common among all of them? One common thing happens to all of them. You know what it is? They die. You know, they should never die. Not if what they teach is true. Just claim the healing and keep on going. They should be 1,000 years old, you know? But they all die. And many of them die of the same sicknesses and diseases that the ones whom they've healed have. They can't even heal themselves. You know what? If physical healing is guaranteed in the atonement for you presently right now, and now make sure you understand that I do believe that someday I'm going to have a body that's not going to have any sickness and problems. But why is it that physical healing is not guaranteed in the atonement for me right now? If it were true and I could claim it at any moment based upon the death of Christ and I trusted in him as my personal savior and I'm feeling sick, I have a little cold, a little flu, a little sinus problem, a little mental problem or whatever, or maybe I have a big problem, physical problem, I just claim the healing by faith and I'm going to be made whole. And God has to do it. Then why, go with me to a few scriptures, then why Philippians chapter 3 verse 21? Take a look. Then why Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21? Philippians 3 verse 21. Who shall change, and this is talking about when the Lord comes, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Like the scriptures say, by his stripes we are healed. He can subdue all things unto himself. But notice it says, who shall change our vile body. If I can claim healing all the time right now, why do I have to have my body changed? It should never be sick, according to these guys. It's guaranteed in the atonement. Then why do I need my vial? And it's called vial. And the word vial has the idea of humiliation. Humiliated body. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. See, there has to be a change here. We're talking about this body here. But I want you to know something, folks. The inward man is renewed day by day. I don't have to have that changed. That's been gloriously redeemed already. And I have a new nature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Except my body. Except this part of me. I'm still in the same body I was born with. But I'm looking for a new body. And I'm not going to experience that necessarily right now because of the atonement. If physical healing is guaranteed in the atonement, then why go to Romans chapter 7 verse 24? Romans 7 verse 24. Romans 7, verse 24. I thank, or verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, Paul's talking about one who's already been changed inside, but he's calling out because he knows the flesh is a problem to him. And the flesh wants to try to keep the law, and that's what the context is all about here. And he says, oh, one of these days, I'm just going to get rid of this. If I could just get rid of this flesh, I wouldn't have any problems. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The victory is in Jesus, folks. If you're right there, go look over to chapter 8, verse 23. 8, verse 23. Look at this. This is the blessed hope. You're not guaranteed healing right now, folks. But you will someday. Look at this. Romans 8, 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. And that's a saved person. You have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit. And what is it? The redemption of our body. I, upon salvation, have the first fruits of the Spirit already working in me. Yep. But you know what I'm waiting for? Not, I don't need a redemption of the inner man, the soul. That's been done. The day I trusted Christ as Savior. Sins forgiven. Home in heaven. Everlasting life. New life in Christ. New nature in Christ. The Spirit of God's inside me living there. When I yield to Him, I'm victorious. Living for the Lord. I'm waiting for something else too. The redemption of this body. To be changed, to be like unto His glorious body. And you're not going to have any aches and pains then. It won't happen then. If physical healing is guaranteed in the atonement, then why 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed for this. And now he's talking about something that right now is corruptible. And I believe it's my body. I don't believe it's his spirit. His spirit's saved by the blood of the Lamb. All sin dealt with, forgiven, clean. Well, then what's corruptible? This thing I'm walking around in. This body of mine that I look out from through these eye gates to see you. I draw in breath into it. I eat. I put clothes on it and everything else. Why? Because it's corruptible. I sometimes go to the doctor and receive medicine to help me to preserve this perishing body. And every once in a while it works, and sometimes it don't work. And as time has gone on, they've learned some amazing things to do to help our bodies continue on and go on. I was just talking to a couple of you about George Washington. The way they put leeches on him and sucked all his blood out and killed him. That they thought that was a thing to do back then. Today they pump chemotherapy, chemicals into the body to kill the cancer. Maybe 20 years from now they're going to say, I can't believe they did that to people. Look at what we have found does this, you know. What does it say here? This corruptible, and that's this body, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. See, in other words, it's not true that you can claim healing all the time and you should never be sick. I'm corruptible right now. I'm mortal right now. And there's a day coming when I will no longer be that way. I'm looking forward to that day. This is talking about the rapture when it takes place. We're going to be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Verse 54 continues, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, we're all headed to that. We're all headed to it. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I can stand here and say to you, it doesn't matter how messed up this body gets, how crippled up it gets, how crinkly and wrinkled it gets, and it gets old. Hey, I think you all know that. The body gets old. It's almost comical to hear some of you say, I don't know what's the matter with me. I used to be able to. I'd like to say, you're getting old. You're getting older. And you can no longer do the things that you did when you were 20. You're now 80. 60 years have gone. Come and gone. And your muscles no longer can do what it did when you were 20. And I so well know that, and I'm sure you do too. I just got myself a handicap placard for my vehicle. You know why? I can't go 50 yards without having to sit down now. Can't go 50 yards. And one day when I did find a parking spot at the, I think it was a Giant, I finally found the spot and I got out of the car and I looked at the door. It looked like it was 3 football fields away. And I said, I think it's time for me to get a handicap. I need to be up there where those guys are parking. Why? Because I'm getting old. Corruptible, mortal, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. If physical healing is guaranteed in the atonement, then why? Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. I believe that tabernacle is Jesus Christ, is with men. Down here on this earth, in that new earth. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. That's why this is after the kingdom, because there's death even in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. This is after that, when he sets up the new heaven, new earth. No more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This thought just entered my mind. I want to tell you this. I do not believe this teaches that when the rapture takes place, and we go to heaven, that believers are going to cry and weep and mourn over not having served the Lord the way they should until this happens at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. You're going to mourn and cry and be angry. I think that's bad teaching. The rapture, I'm going to shed this body and I'm going to have a glorious body. Oh, yes. Rewards will be handed out, but I don't think the lack of reward is going to cause you to be in agony until the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Some of these Baptist preachers almost have what is called a Baptist purgatory. And I don't believe in that. I reject that. I believe we go up in the rapture, everything is the way it should be. Yes, we're going to go through a judgment. But I don't think we're going to be there. Oh! You know? Yeah. What good is that going to do? Why do they teach that? I believe it's to scare Christians into serving the Lord now. So that you don't have to go at the judgment seat of Christ. You know what? You shouldn't have to be scared into that kind of service for the Lord for that reason. You should want to serve the Lord because of what he's already done for your lost, hell-deserving soul. And if you do not have a desire like that, then there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your thinking, your understanding. And if I have to scare you that there's going to be a purgatorial time for you for not really serving the Lord after we get to heaven, then we don't want that kind of service. Don't want that kind. Because what is that going to do? Make you more fit for heaven or something? No. Every man shall find praise of God in that day, it says. All right, back to what I was doing here. You know what? If we find that the Lord is going to take all that away, then it must be the normal experience that while we're here on earth, we are going to have death and sorrow and sickness and tears. Until we get to heaven, till we get to glory, and we have the redemption of the body take place. They say, here's another false, no need for remedies, medicine, don't go to doctors, stay away from hospitals. You're exercising lack of faith if you go to a doctor ever. You should never go to the doctor. You should never take any pills. You should never take any medicine. That's lack of faith on your part. Just trust in the Lord. I believe that going to the doctor, taking things that might help your body preserve and keep on going, is no different than eating good food. Why do you eat food? Just have faith in God. You don't need to eat. Well, if I don't eat, I get sick. Oh, just it's guaranteed in the atonement. It's so silly. These things are so ridiculous. And you know what? Wear clothes. Not only we don't want to see your nakedness, but it keeps you warm. You won't get a cold, things like that. You do that for self-preservation. Put your coat on, you're going to catch a cold. Did your mother ever tell you that? Yeah. Well, Mom, that's lack of faith if I just trust in that coat. Yeah. You know what? It gets so ridiculous. Don't even need to go any further. Then here's the next one. If you sow, quote, seed faith, unquote, we will guarantee a healing for you. Because this is the way God works. When you put a seed in the ground, you water it, it sprouts forth, and it brings forth fruit or a flower. So, and here's how they do it. These guys are the cruelest, most wicked applicators of Scripture around. You send us a seed, and it's always money. It's always money. Have you noticed that? I'd like to send one of them a bag of seeds. Here's your seed. Give me my healing. Yeah. See, I don't think you should make fun of that. Well, I will. Because I think it's a rotten thing that they do to people. I think it's a terrible disservice that they do spiritually to people like this. And it's all to maintain their ministries. They're on TV all over the world. They've got to have millions of dollars, folks. This is just one way that they catch it and pull the bait in and get it and provide for their ministries. You send us a seed faith. It's just like putting a seed in the ground. And then we will bathe it with prayer. Because when your letter comes, we're going to put them in a pile and we're going to put our knees on it. And we are going to pray for you. Like if it's real personal, you know, a big pile. They're going to pray for you. They say they do this. I wonder if they do. Those letters, as soon as they get the check out of it, probably into the wastebasket. But they promise to pray. Get on their knees on the letters and pray. And then it will sprout forth with a healing back to you. And by the way, here's a testimony, and Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so get on. Yes, we sent our seed faith into the so-and-so called ministry, and I had cancer throughout my whole body. The next month I went, and they couldn't find cancer anywhere. I believe in this ministry, and that God has called this man. And on it goes. Follow the money. That's what it's all about. And how many others sent their money in and nothing happened? You know that's the truth. But the worst thing about this is they are working on the most sentimental, the most difficult and emotional thing that we all have. Our bodies are dying. They're just falling apart all around us. While my inward man is renewed day by day. I can't figure it out, Lord. Why wouldn't you want me to have a perfect body? I mean, I'm pastor of Ray Street Baptist Church. You realize all those good people that want me to be their pastor? Why can't I have a perfect body for them? He says, no. My grace is sufficient for thee. I'm taking that out. That's Paul's experience, right? My grace is sufficient for thee. Or it might be this reason. I want to glorify myself through you. Yeah, you're laying flat in your back. You're paralyzed from your neck down. But I want to bring folks to Christ through you. While you lay in that bed, I want you to tell them how wonderful it is to know I have a Savior. And one of these days, He's taking me home and I'm going to have a brand new body. One of these days. Glorifying the work of Christ could be a glorifying reason for sickness. It could be strengthening your faith for sickness. Peter talks about the trial by fire that we go through, that we might come forth as gold, precious gold. Sometimes that fire is not just persecution you go through, but could be sickness that you go through. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. I'll close with this. You say, whew, I'm glad to hear that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. A couple of the brothers came up to me before the message today, and they were starting to preach my message for me. I couldn't tell them everything, but I said, you guys, you're blessing my heart because I'm preaching about what you're talking about. Look here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. I tell you what, Paul would never make it with these faith healers today. They would kick him out. Verse 20. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Paul left one of his own buddies, co-companions, co-workers in the work of the Lord. I had to leave him there sick. Now, Paul, how about one of your handkerchiefs? You know, touch one of your handkerchiefs and put it on Trophimus. Paul, just say the word, you know, through Christ, I cast the demon out of you or whatever, or make him whole. Say that. Do that for Trophimus. No. You know what, folks? You better get used to it. Why was Trophimus sick? Well, you know why? Because of the curse. Upon the day that Adam and Eve disobeyed God, a curse was put on this earth. It's called death and dying. And you are going to catch your amount of colds and flus. You're just going to do it. Some of you are going to have allergies. Some of you are going to have headaches. Some of you are going, your mind also is getting older. And we call all kinds of diseases, Alzheimer's, you know. Well, I don't know why I can't remember. You're getting older. That's why. And the electrical responses between all the cells in your brain aren't working just like they did 20 years ago. And if you don't believe this, sit down and play a game. To get Jeremiah and Luke on one side of the table and you on the other and play this game called memory. You'll soon find out. Because there was a day you could win that. But you won't win it now. And I know. I think I did play memory with them at one of our events. Although I was pretty shrewd. But you know what? I recognized my limit there. Getting old. Memory. It's going. And Lewis Sperry Schaefer, in discussing some of these passages of Scripture, quoted someone else who said this in conclusion. It can safely and doctrinally be said that until the Redeemer comes, the death rate for both sinner and saint will be one apiece. Think about it. One apiece. My dad used to sell life insurance, and sometimes a stubborn customer would say, well, what are my chances of dying? You know, people ask the stupidest questions sometimes. I'm selling them graves. I'm selling them vaults and coffins. Well, I'm not going to need that anytime soon. Stupid. My dad would say, 100%. What are my chances of dying? 100%. What's your first name? Middle initial? Yeah. Sign here and start making your payments. Get ready for death. It's coming. Every one of you, one apiece. The only exception will be what?
A rapture.
Then we get to escape. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up. But I like the fact that the ones who have already died before us are going to be caught up first in the rapture. That's a blessed comfort that the Lord gave all the believers and you and me. Because we've had many, haven't they, died. We prayed that God would heal them and they slip right through our fingers. We pray, Lord, help them. But you know what? Eventually, no matter how much you pray for me and my cancer, unless they come up with a cure or the Lord performs a miracle, which I believe he can do. I mean, we prayed for Brother Bill there, remember? And they told him, they opened him up and closed him back up. The only thing we can do is chemotherapy. He sits here today, as far as we know, there's no cancer in his body. And we prayed for that. And you say, well, isn't that healing? That's God being gracious and merciful to us. That's what it is. When Epaphroditus in Philippians was sick, the church prayed, Paul prayed, and he attributed it to God was merciful to us and let our brother live. But you know what? Epaphroditus eventually got sick of something else. And he ended up dying. I mean, he's not around. He's dead. He's in the grave somewhere. And so will Brother Bill. Oh boy, isn't that a great thought, huh? Oh man, it's terrible to talk like that. But you know, Bill, you and me, we're both headed for the grave, right? All of us. So I'm not saying don't pray for healing. But you know what? Don't get all bent out of shape with God and upset with him. He may have all kinds of reasons for allowing it in your body. And if there is no reason, well, one other reason could be also that he's dealing with you about sin in your life and he's trying to get you to see that you need to get straightened out with that. That's another reason you can get sick. But when it's all over and done with, we want all praise and glory to be upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Brother Dave here. He's been sick, and then he's well. And then he gets sick again, then he gets well again. And we just keep praying for him, and we're thankful that God answers our prayer like that. And there's a host of you. We've prayed. Your name's probably on a list, okay? We're praying for you. Not because we believe God's a mean ogre if he doesn't do it. No, he may have all kinds of reasons. And you know what? I'm happy with that because someday he has promised me, just like his son rose up out of that grave with a body that was different than it went in, I too am going to have a glorious body. We're all going to stay in a body, okay? But I'm glad we're going to get a new one. And this old one's going to go. Now, in closing, think of this. This body causes me a lot of trouble. It's called the flesh. And I can remember getting saved at 10 years of age. And I can remember time after time after time, I would go by walking by something, and my eyes would look at something. Next thing you know, I'm like this. Oh. And then I'm, oh. And I'm tempted and fall into sin. I'm a believer. And I'm tempted and I fall into sin. This body will do that. But I also remember from 10 years old up till now, there have been times when I woke up in the morning, talked to the Lord, had some Bible reading, was close to the Lord, asked him to help me that day, that I might yield to the Spirit of God dwelling within me. And I walked by that same temptation again. I looked. And I just went straight on by it. And didn't fall into temptation to it. You know what that was? The inward man being renewed day by day, giving me the victory over my flesh that day. Oh, I'm looking forward.
looking forward to the day when this body will no longer bother me in any way, shape, or form. Disease, sickness, or even just lusts of the flesh. Temptation. I'm looking forward to that day. Because I know I have it. Because inside I've been changed. I've been made new. And as I yield to the Spirit, I can overcome the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, says in Galatians. But when I don't, guess what? The flesh sometimes beats me. But it ain't going to condemn me because I'm blood bought. I'm washed. And this soul and spirit's going to be with the Lord. And then eventually this body is going to be changed too. Till then, it's going to wrinkle up. It's going to crinkle up. It's going to get all. It's going to, one of these days I'm going to go. I'm going to be gone. And so will you. But I'm saved. I'm saved. And one of these days, that body that you're going to put in the grave is going to be raised up out of there and made brand new forever to live with the Lord. Oh, that day. Looking forward to it. It can safely and doctrinally be said that until the Redeemer comes, the death rate for both sinner and saint will be one apiece. One apiece. 100%. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. Jason, when we all get to heaven, number 133 in your course book that we started out with, 133. What a day of rejoicing that'll be. Hey, if you're not saved, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He'll save you from your sin and give you eternal life, a home in heaven, and one of these days your body will be made brand new. Looking forward to that. Get saved. Trust Christ as your Savior. Christian, come on. I know you're all in bodies that are broken and not working right, not cooperating and everything. Yeah, come on. Let's allow the inward man to be renewed day by the Spirit of God. Get closer to the Lord until you take your dying breath, honor, glorify, talk about, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. We'll sing and shout the victory. 133. If you see fit to allow us to have good bodies and get around, may we use them for your honor and glory. If you see fit to permit our bodies to be racked with pain and sickness till we die, may we be a good testimony for the Lord no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.